here on the Bill and OC show, I'm slightly intimidated because this man, to call him an icon is an understatement. A television and radio host, an actor, a voice artist, a comedian. On Twitter, at King's Things. If you're not following him already, do so. Joining us now on the Bill and OC show, the venerable Larry King. Larry, how are you, sir?
Oh, Bill, I know how thrilled you are. And I'm proud to be in your presence. I'm proud to be talking to you. I'll be up there at Sundance in Park City tomorrow. Although we do have a home in Provo, you know.
Yeah, that's right. You've a local connection, your lovely wife, right?
My wife and the family, yeah. I'm a Jewish boy who married a Mormon.
Makes total sense, Larry.
I'm trying to get them to send all the missionaries to Miami Beach.
Actually, a fun fact, I was a college teammate for 1 year of your stepson, Danny, at the University of Utah. We were both walk-ons. He was a quarterback. I was a linebacker. So we didn't practice together all that much, but we were on the same team that year.
Danny is now in the Arena Football League. He got his master's degree. He's attending University of Pennsylvania, and he's playing for the Portland Thunder in the Arena Football League. He's still giving it his best.
That's pretty cool. A little where are they now on Danny Southwick.
Where are they now? I'll see Danny tomorrow, I hope.
All right, Larry, you've done it all in sports and in media, in everything. Who is the most interesting human being that you have talked to in your long and illustrious career?
You know, guys, it's impossible to pick one person out. I've done, somebody estimated, almost 60,000 interviews.
Wow.
So off the top of my head, you know, Nelson Mandela, seven presidents, from athletes, from Michael Jordan to LeBron James to Stan Musial to Bill Shoemaker to Bill Hartack to Michael. Oh, my God. I can't pick out. It's impossible to pick out one. If I had to jump at it, I would say Sinatra because he was so hard to get. And afterwards, we struck up a friendship, and I did the last interview he did before he passed away.
You just rattled off some names that my producer and I looked at each other and just shook our head with a smile because, you know, just even on the athlete side, it's a who's who of
well,
of
you
legends.
Know what happened is really, I was a kid in Brooklyn who only wanted to be on the radio, went to Dodger games. I was very poor. My father had died. And my only wish was to be on the radio. That was my wish. And at age 22 and a half down in Miami, I got the chance. And who knew that it would lead to, you know, being known internet? I pinch myself every day. I swear to God, I'm so thrilled with everything that's happened to me. I don't take it for granted. You know, I'm 81 years old. I have three grown children. I have Danny as my stepson. I have two smaller kids, 15 and 14. Both of them play baseball. One of them is at the IMG Academy in Florida. Doing a semester there. He's a great little baseball player. Cannon's a hell of a player. But I can't believe. It's really true. I can't believe everything that's happened to me. So I pinch myself every day. And luck has a lot to do with it. And I was graced with the gift of curiosity. And that was the secret of the whole career. I'm just an intensely curious person.
For me, working in this business, you know, I haven't been in nearly as long as you have, but I've had an opportunity to talk to some people I really admire, athletes that I was a huge fan of when I was a young kid. And when I get to talk to, you know, someone like Jerry Rice, I got to interview Jerry Rice last year. That was a bucket list thing for me to sit there and talk with the greatest receiver of all time. And I kind of geeked out a little bit. I got excited about it. Does that still happen to you at this point in your career?
That's okay. But the thing you have to remember is it's okay to be. Of course you're excited.
Sure.
And you're meeting a world leader. You're excited. You're meeting a great athlete that you've respected all your life. I mean, the first time I met Stan Musial, I thought I'd faint. But when the light goes on, it's your show.
Right.
And you're in control of the interview, and you temper the enthusiasm because you're there with one role, and that's to elicit information for your audience. And you have to go into that role, and you can't look ahead to the next day's guest or what you did to yesterday. That person in that moment is your guest. Your job is to elicit information. So you can have the little thrill inside. Hey, that's bound to happen the first time I was in the White House interviewing a president. But once that light goes on, you have to remember what your role is. and you have to be professional. You know, you can't gush, you can't skirt. You got to do what you got to do.
Well, my guest right now on the Bill and OC show is Larry King, legend in the media business, and you've said 60,000 plus interviews. Is there someone out there walking around right now, Larry, that you just absolutely need to talk to before you decide not to do this anymore?
Yeah, well, I think they'll have to carry me out if I decide to not do it. I'm on Aura TV every day. We're on Hulu. I'm doing a show for the Dodger Network. I'm doing a podcast with my wife once a week. The one person is Fidel Castro. I went down to Havana a couple of years ago. We tried to make contact with some of the leaders in Cuba. Now it's opening up. I hope I still got the chance to do it. Forget politics. He's the longest running leader in the world. I mean, he's not the leader now, but for 60 years he led the country. I can't think of any other person who led a country for 60 years. A revolutionary came down from the mountains, defied a country 90 miles away. It'd be fascinating to talk to him. So he would be top of the list.
How much is Cuba opening up going to change America, and especially how much is it going to change American baseball? We've had players defect.
I think it's great. Cuba's a wonderful place. The people are wonderful. They may be a communist country, but people are people. When you go down to Cuba, as we Americans will start doing, you'll find it lively, musical. A lot of tourists from all over the world go there. It's a wonderful vacation spot. Nothing but good will come of this. The older Cubans who I knew very well when I was in Miami, when that boatload came in, the first ones came in, Castro took office. He marched into Havana on January 1st, 1959. I was on the air that morning. So the older people may regret a little, but the young sons and grandsons of the Cuban people in Miami, they're open to this. And the chance to go back and see the country that their forefathers came from. There's nothing but good in this. Nothing but good. And I hope that Congress agrees to break down the silly thing we've had against them where we deny economic use. And, you know, we've been in touch with Cuba all these years through hurricanes. They've been our number one outlet reporting to us about hurricanes approaching the United States. So I'm very glad that Obama did this. And I'm glad to see there's a 70% approval. And for baseball, it's going to be tremendous. I asked Commissioner Selig last week if he sees the possibility of a major league team in Havana. And he said, you know, everything's possible. A major league team would succeed in Havana. And they've got the players. They're terrific.
Yeah, they certainly have the players. Obviously, even with the embargoes, a lot of players have made their way over and really had an impact on Major League Baseball. Looking forward to what a more open border and exchange program can do for Cuban players in
baseball.
You
know, it's silly when you think of it to not talk to your adversary. I mean, to not have an embassy. What do you gain by not speaking? I've never understood that. What is the purpose of not speaking to someone you have political or philosophical or disagreements with? What do you gain by not speaking?
I don't know that there is anything to gain.
I never understood it.
Maintaining that status quo and there's never any progress in that
situation.
What
do you gain?
Well, hopefully we'll have something to gain from a little cultural exchange here. And hopefully, everything I've read about Cuba, it's a place that I want to visit very soon because I want to visit it before it gets too commercialized and too Americanized.
Until we control it, right?
right. You want the undistilled product of what Cuban culture is before we corrupt it is what I'm.
Well, we'll surprise you when you go. And Havana is a beautiful city, and of course, great weather. How clean the city is. Very clean. The airport is fantastic, beautiful airport. The cars are all American cars from 1950s. It's funny to see that. It's like stepping into the past. They have some nice hotels. Food's very good. Music is very good. People are very lively. They have no illiteracy and probably one of the best medical systems in the world. That, Castro, to Castro's credit, is never-ending. They are really top of the mark there. Holding political prisoners, I detest. A lot of things they do I don't like. But all in all, we've got to recognize that. And that'll change. You know, we're all in this earth together. Killing each other is stupid. arguing with each other. I've never understood that. I'm looking at the world through rose-colored glasses, but I hate to see what I'm seeing now happening in Europe and in Yemen, and it's really sad to me. Just sad.
Bill and O.C. show.
Sports is the best. Hey, well, you know what we love about sports? The fact that people who are not sports fans, what do they do when they get up in the morning? You know, what are they interested in? To me, I get up.
Yeah, well, wow, if you're not looking for scores.
Who's going to win in the NBA tonight? What happened to Kobe Bryant? What do you make of all this wild story about the Gates story and the football and the pounds and the Super Bowl? And wow, and baseball spring training starts soon. Wow. To be a sports fan is to, it energizes your life because it's so unimportantly important, right? If your
Absolutely.
Team wins, the Utah Jazz, if they win, you feel great. Don't do anything for your pocketbook. You don't do anything for your love life, but you feel good. It changes your day.
Larry, unfortunately, the Jazz aren't winning as much as we hope they will yet.
I know, but I like them. They have some nice quality about them, and they'll develop well. And if they get some breaks in the draft system, they're going to be formidable. And they're the toughest crowd in the league. You know, nobody wants to play in Salt Lake.
Larry King is our guest here on ESPN 700. Talk a little Jazz basketball. There's a young guy, Rudy Gobert, French center. I don't know how much you've seen of him so far, Larry.
I've seen him play, and you know, when I get DirecTV and I get all the games, so I saw him play last night.
That's the kind of player that the Jazz need to develop, right? There's a conscious model right now, or an effort in the Jazz organization to try and follow the Spurs model of building through the draft and building through international talent, and it would appear that Rudy Gobert is a nice little piece, a little diamond in the rough that they were able to mine out of a system.
That's the way to do it. If you could take the Spur model, for example, no one knows the Spur owners. Who owns
right.
the Spurs? I don't know.
Well, if you don't know, most of us don't.
Yeah, I know, but they're invisible in a sense, but they know how to run an organization. And Utah will build that way, and I'm sure the Utah Jazz will be formidable as we go into the second half of this decade.
I agree with you that a somewhat invisible owner appears to be the best model for a professional sports franchise. So what do you make of a team and a franchise like the Dallas Cowboys with Jerry Jones, who's owner, GM, lead cheerleader? He's everything for that franchise. Is that good or bad for the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, it's been good and bad. I'm a friend of Jerry's. I like him very much. I think he should hire a general manager. He takes it all upon himself, but it's his team. It's his money. They had a very good year this year. We got a wild one in L.A. now in Steve Ballmer. He's a crazed. I'm a Clipper fan. So, and my boys are Clipper fans, and I love the Clippers, and I think they're an exciting team. They've got a great coach. But Steve Ballmer is one of those owners. He doesn't interfere with the basketball operation, but you watch him at games. Have you seen him at games?
Steve Ballmer?
He goes berserk.
Yeah.
He's the leading fan in the stands.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's a billionaire. He's still got a lot of that Microsoft stock. Played $2 billion for the team.
Right.
But he's berserk. He's like a wacko. I like to watch him in the stands. He's crazed. Jerry Jones is also maniacal a little bit, but he is more hands-on than Ballmer is. I think your best bet is an organization like the Jazz. Is the Miller still involved in the Jazz?
Yeah, Gail Miller is at the top, and then her son Greg is the president and involved in all those things. Yeah,
I like Larry Miller a lot. I put a call into Gail today. I hope to have breakfast with him one day. I'm going to be there for 3 days. I have a lot of admiration for that family.
Before you joined us, Larry, we were talking about your Twitter account at King's Things, and you know, like we've said, you've been in the business forever, and you're staying kind of at the forefront. You got 2.5 million followers on Twitter, and you're very up with the technological advances and all that. Twitter is now really the number one news source, especially on the sports side of things. When stories break and when stories happen, it's real time, and they develop on Twitter. Has it made our business better?
It's all amazing to me. The guy who started Twitter has been at our house, and Jack Dorsey's a terrific guy. and the thing exploded. And I'm not a technical whiz at all. I phone in my Twitter to a producer, and they send them out. I don't know how to dial in to Twitter.
Okay.
I mean, I phone it in, and the producer sends all the stuff out that I send. It's a great vehicle. It makes everybody a journalist, in a sense. The bad side is it can start a rumor that's wrong.
Sure.
It can affect a life that's wrong. It can concoct a new... But on the other hand, it found the Boston bombers.
Yep.
Twitter got them. Another thing that's really true, guys, if something in the world happened right now, something of significance, the whole world will know it in a minute. There's no extra news on the stand, right? You don't get a newspaper that surprises you. Everything's right there. It's right immediate. So there's good and bad and everything, you know. If we never invented airplanes, there'd be no airplane crashes.
Sure.
But you can't stop technology. You know, it is what it is. And so we use it to the best of our ability. We hope that some people don't misuse it. I don't like hacking. I don't like what happened to Sony. You know, there's danger in a lot of this. All progress brings some danger. And I worry about what it's going to be like for the kids as they grow up. What can you predict in 10 years?
Well, everything's changed so much in the last 10, it's impossible to predict what the next 10 will be like, right?
Or if we'll be here.
Sure. Larry King is our guest here.
Sports will keep us going.
Well, sports will keep us going, and this is a sports show. So let's talk about the Super Bowl. The New England Patriots, the headlines in Boston and everywhere else have been about Deflategate and the PSI and the deflated footballs. We can talk about that AFC Championship game, but we know that ultimately a 38-point victory, the balls probably didn't have a whole lot to do with it. Seattle Seahawks are the defending champs. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, this, in my opinion, is kind of their last ride. Father Time catches up to everybody in professional sports. How's the Super Bowl going to go down, Larry?
I think the odds makers have it right. It's pick 'em. I find this game impossible to pick. And I don't know anyone who could step up to bet in Vegas and say, I am certain, I'm laying this $1,000 down, I am certain that my team will win. You can't be in this game. There's too many unknowns. What will Deflategate do to the Patriots? Can the Seattle defense stop Tom Brady? How well will the Seattle offense move? They don't have any really great... They have one great running back, and then... How's this all going to play out? It's fascinating. I think it's going to be a great game. Deflategate will overshadow it all week. And the NFL... I've never seen a league so successful and at the same time so stupid. I mean, there's a lot of things about this league that are incredibly dumb. The way they handle things, the way they move slowly, the wrong decisions they make... they've got a real problem with violence and with concussions and their decision maker. I like this commissioner personally. I don't know that he's the best commissioner. For example, you couldn't investigate this thing quicker. You haven't interviewed any player yet?
No player. 40 interviews and no player so far.
Why? So you let the taint run the whole week. Can the announcers, Al Michaels, when he comes on Sunday night on NBC, can he not refer to the size of the... He's got her. All right? You know that when you watch this game, when the cameras close in on the coin toss and the referee's got the football, you're going to look at the football.
Absolutely.
The first completion, you're going to say, what's the size of that football?
What's the
PSI? I didn't
know
all the years I've been a fan. I didn't know that the quarterback can pick his own football. I never knew that. You know, I didn't know. I know for the Super Bowl, the league controls the balls. But they don't control them for the games. They issue a certain amount of balls for the home team and for the visitors. And the home team uses its ball. The visitors use it. I never knew that.
Right.
I never knew the quarterback, Tom Brady, at the press conference when he said, I picked out the balls I like. What is this? You pick out the balls you like? I know in basketball... The home team picks out the basketball. They let the point guards bounce them.
Yep.
And they get the field, and that's the ball used the whole game. And I know they have rules on inflation and deflation, and the referees check them and all that. But the home team picks the ball, and it's their ball all game. I had no idea that the quarterback could choose the ball of his liking. That was a shock to me. And Tom Brady, who I admire a great deal, a lot about the one thing I don't think was asked at the press conference. Did you talk to the equipment people about the balls? That's such a simple question, right?
Right. The answer to that has to be yes, right? I mean, if he's picking
right,
the balls
in that. Right, it would have to be yes, but no one asked that. Did you talk to the people who hand you the balls and take care of them? You said you figured out the ball, you held it. Well, did you talk to them? Did you ask them about deflation or inflation? Have you ever done that? Belichick said he's never been interested in the ball. Never.
He said in 40 years he's never been interested in the protocol of how to play. And other coaches, John Harbaugh of the Ravens in particular, said, of course we're involved in that process. As a head coach, we're involved in every process.
I was surprised that Bill and Tom, unless they got some, it makes it appear they got sort of, it acts like a duck, looks like a duck, it's a duck. There's a stretch of my credulity here. They're checking my intelligence.
Yeah.
And in acting slowly, they've affected that whole game. We'll be concentrating on things other than the game.
It's unfortunate.
That ball was thrown short. I wonder if that ball was overinflated. Things you never thought of. It could be a riot broadcast.
It'll be interesting. I wanted to ask you about another guy who's playing in the Super Bowl because he's one of the most fascinating guys in the NFL to me, and that's Marshawn Lynch, the running back for the Seattle Seahawks. And the reason he's fascinating to me is because he's a monster of a player, but he cannot stand talking to the media. He cannot stand interacting, forcible interaction with cameras and with microphones, and he's faced fines because of it and been threatened.
This may sound weird, but I've known athletes like that throughout history. A long time, Ted Williams didn't talk to the media. I forgot his name. We had a great running back in the NFL years ago that never spoke to the media. I don't think we have the right to get an answer. I don't think he has to talk to the media. The NFL rules on the Super Bowl week where they're promoting themselves and you got to speak. He can speak and just say no comment. But to force him to talk is not our business. To decide whether he can put a little yellow thing on his shoe, come on.
Right.
You know, that they make decisions on quick. Like he grabbed his crotch, right?
Sure.
$20,000.
Yep.
But on Deflategate, we got to wait 7 weeks. That's so, to me, I don't think that an elected official owes an interview. An elected official owes. He's paid by the. We are paying him.
Yep.
Now, Marshawn Lynch can do what he wishes. I wish he would talk. I'd like to interview him. I think I could get something out of him if he sat down with me. I've interviewed people who didn't like to talk to people.
There's well, let's
a way
make that happen.
Handling that. But you got to be aware of their consciousness. You know, in other words, if I was sitting with Marshawn Lynch right now and he agreed to sit with me, right?
Yeah.
Let's say he had to agree first. The first thing I would ask is, what about media? Why is it you don't like to talk? What is it about us, the collective us, that turns you off?
Like I want that answer, too.
Love to
yeah.
talk about their profession. Most doctors love to talk about doctor. Baseball players like to talk about baseball. Coaches like to talk about. Why don't you like to talk about what you're so gifted? Why don't you want to talk?
That's why he interests me so much. So consider this my formal request to you and your producers and everyone else. I'd love to see you sit down with Marshawn Lynch, Larry, because you could get some things out of him that a lot of us just don't have that access.
I remember once when George Allen, the great late coach, before the Super Bowl of the Redskins, playing the Miami Dolphins, and the press conference that he said, look, this is mandatory, so I'm just going to let Larry King ask all the questions. I was embarrassed. I was standing up, and I did have 45 minutes, and the press was making notes. It was real. It was a compliment. It was embarrassing. But sure, I'd love to sit down with him. It would be those are treats to me. Those are challenges. But if you ask it in the right way, if you show that you're really interested in them, you're not crowding them, you know, but to ask simple questions like, why? So there must be a reason. He must talk to his mother, his wife, his friends. He must teammates. He must tell, someone must say, ask him, why don't you talk to them? You know, what has he got against them? They're writing about his plaudits. Well, why? So it fascinates me to get into that psyche. There's got to be a reason, right?
There's got to be a reason. Absolutely.
So what happened? Maybe in his childhood. I noted Steve Carlton, the great baseball pitcher in the Hall of Fame, he stopped talking to the press because he was having dinner once with a friend of his wife, and the press reported like he was cheating on his wife. So he took that so badly that he tuned out the whole press. Mm-hmm. He just walked out, and he used to talk a lot, and then he stopped talking at all. But there was a reason. So he took it out against all because of the actions of a few. But at least there was a reason. You know, that's what I would try to approach. To be curious, nothing wrong with being curious. Some of the dumbest questions are asked at press time after the game.
Sure.
Some of these questions drive me nuts.
You can write a script, and we in the
to me, you know,
media.
There are simple questions you can ask. I used to do locker room interviews. I did Dolphin football for years as the color man. I did that when we were undefeated. I had to do Shula after every game. And I had to do the visiting players. I did the locker room interviews. And they were so easy. Like, what surprised you today? I never hear that asked. You know, I could go into a locker room. You don't have to tell me the sport.
Sure.
I could talk to the coach. What surprised you today? What did they do you didn't expect? What about your team today? What did you like? What disappointed you? What did you think of the officiating today? I don't still know a sport, right? I've asked four
right.
questions without knowing the sport.
Non-sport specific.
You could do it, but you got to be curious. You know, you got to. But these people, when they say, they don't ask a question, they make a statement. Well, coach, in the first half, when you were down by two touchdowns, everyone thought it was going to be pretty terrific, but you turned things around in the second half, and then you pushed the mic in front of his face. What's the
right.
question? What's the question? It drives me nuts.
I'm laughing because that's the thing that happens in all of our press conferences.
And yeah, you just watch them and you can laugh. They're silly. They're just silly.
Oh, man. Larry, thank you so much for taking some time with us.
My pleasure, guys. Am I going to see you? I'll be up there.
Yeah, we'll be up here. I'm going to be up here tomorrow night and on Sunday. Come down on Sunday to the Jupiter Bowl, and we'll be doing the Strikes for Scholarships event together. It'll be fun.
I will drop by.
All right, sounds
good.
I look
forward to it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Larry King, the man, the myth, the legend, kind enough to take some time, about half an hour, and join us today.